This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, you guys. This is Gordo. This is a wonderful little swapcast. I was graciously invited to go on the Powerful and Mighty Tinfoil Hat podcast with Sam Triboli, XG, and Johnny Woodard. And yeah, man, we tore it up. Tore that shit up, son. It was in the sweaty, sweaty summer of 21. I remember the summer of 21. The lockdowns were easing. Peoples was going out and having, I don't know, handshakes, milkshakes, and all type of mess of outside fun. I remember it was sweaty. They brought us beer. I remember the summer of 21. We felt like free men for that day. It was a weird one. Weird one this summer. But yeah, this is from a time when I had just set up the new TCG Towers. And we were having the crank with Sam online. We were reduced to making stuff online. But now, you know, we're all back in business. Loads of episodes coming at you for Q4. This Swapcast is one of many that's going to be coming out in the next, I don't know, eight to 10 days. I have a fucking load of them. I have a fucking rag of them. I've been doing nothing but appearing on shows for all the June, July, August, and September. We recorded Project Bluebeam, Mystery to Pyramids, a Vampires Halloween special episode. Mwah! Deep dive job. And then I have a bunch of true crimes and stuff as well. And hopefully I'll get this internet fixed and we can get back to live streaming. But for now, you can enjoy this wonderful little jaunt where we're talking about, I don't know, what the control of the Catholic Church over Irish politics and being an adult. And obviously, you know, a little bit about propaganda and the culture war and all that kind of stuff. It might be a blast from the past. I may have made some predictions in June that may have come to pass. But remember, this is Summer 21, and this is a Swapcast with Sam Triboli and Tinfoil Hat. If you want to follow him or find his show, the links and stuff will be in the description below. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy. More episodes to come. Love you guys. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
We got a great show, Gordo. It's a fun conversation. It's just a conversation. He could talk forever, and he's wonderful at it. He's from Those Conspiracies Guy. Gordo, enjoy the show.
Drink from the fountain of...
All right, so let's get into it. Super excited to have our returning champion back. One of the, the guy does not get as much heat as he should be for some of the people that should be mentioned for the Mount Rushmore of the show. He always does come on, always drops some real fucking hammer, and I'm going to throw his hat into the discussion. I think he should be included, and I'm very excited to have him on. Please welcome Gordon Rochford. How are you, brother?
What's going on, boys? Back in the house. I think me and Eddie Bravo are fighting for how many people, the most people on episodes. I think it was on episode 4, Sam.
Yeah.
And then 11, and then 19, and then something else.
Yeah, you've been on at least 4 times, right? At least?
I think this might be 6.
Damn, you're in the...
George
you're into the
Bush one. We did...
Six, yeah, guest club. That's pretty awesome, dude. Thank you. Yeah. Well, obviously, you have a wonderful show called Those Conspiracy Guys.
Thank you very much.
You're one of the OGs of this whole thing. You were killing it back when this show started. So that was like, it was a really great thing that you came on to our little show, and I'm so happy you're doing well. And word on the street, and the streets are talking, you're on Rockfin now, huh?
Yeah, man. I took the soup. The guy came around and he was like, hey, man, just try this just one time. It's totally not addictive, man. Let's go.
If you knew Jaime, that's exactly...
You got any of those rock fins?
Sorry.
So, yeah, that's what's happening. I'm getting ready to put the whole back catalog on there. And I was talking to the boys, Daniel and stuff over there. And so those conspiracy guys on rock fins going to happen. I hear you're the king of rock fins, Sam.
I'm blessed to be part of the people that are trying to grow it over there. We're growing comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm the head of comedy development. And Word on the Street, we got a big name signing very soon. I'm very excited to have that on, and names are coming. So I think by this time next year, we're going to see all the Savages there, and I hope that it keeps growing and does well. There's already player hating out there. You know, sounds like, my guarantee is a Rockfin will be the new blue check mark. I don't even know that, because I think blue check marks have a negative connotation now, like they're sellouts.
You gave them a negative connotation.
I did?
No way, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did, for sure. Am I wrong, though?
No, you're completely right, but everyone always says, and whenever every time someone brings a blue check mark, they always got a blue, and those blue check mark motherfuckers, and they're talking just like
it's
you.
Like an impression.
Well, I also own, I realize... Yeah, so that's my whole thing. I love it over there, and it's got a lot of growing to go, and you're perfect for there. First of all, congratulations on having a baby. How great is that?
It's brilliant. My pelvic floor is just about back to normal. I'm really happy about it. I'm not sneezing and pissing myself no more. But Rena Joy, she's almost 5 months old, and she's great crack. Getting the laughs and the giggles and the, you know, she's not just like a milk-sucking meat bag anymore. The other way, when they come out first, they're all wrinkly and demanding. like some LA club bitches just like, and just give me what I... But so this is a joyous time in my life. We moved house from Dublin City out to the far, far country. It'd be like moving from fucking SoCal to like Montana. Basically, so we're out in the middle of the country in Ireland. I think one of the times when we did a show, I was broadcasting from a Ted Kaczynski-esque wooden cabin at one point. So now we're in a real house back in that kind of area, and we're building TCG Towers Mark III, the Third Reich. I think that has bad connotations as well, like blue check mark. But yeah, the towers are behind me. They're yet to be illuminated. We're getting the studio back up and running and getting some new shows recorded. It's been a fucking journey, lads. And you guys are absolutely pumping out shows. Much respect to the fucking the swarm and the struggle and the grind.
Thank you.
But yeah, those conspiracy guys is happening, man. Life is good. It's getting better all the time.
And there's nothing wrong with just hitting the pause button for a second to take care of the things that matter. And, you know, it's just so interesting because I have so many of my friends that I love that I don't align up politically with. I don't really like any political group. But, you know, I have friends who are deep on the left, very, very deep, deep on the left. And, you know, a lot of them are, you know, it's very interesting when female talk about not wanting to have kids, because I think that's a very big thing for them. And you know, I just think about the pure love of having children. And I don't think you should have to have children unless you want to have children. But the notion of what children are and the quote unquote burden that they are just seems like a lot of propaganda to me. Because, I mean, I have two kids, and, you know, I posted a video on Instagram the other day about this dad who supposedly works like three jobs.
I saw that. That was great. Who's cutting onions?
Who's cutting onions? And he gets his daughter a dress, and she doesn't even grab the dress. She just grabs her dad, you know, the feeling of providing for your kids as a man is like, there is no higher drug than that. It is the best feeling in the world. And I always see my female comic friends are like, not having kids, so excited about it. And I just write, kids are the best. Think, you know, and I just worry that there's some propaganda out there because kids aren't for everybody, and that's totally fine. But, you know,
How you know it's propaganda, though, is because they have to broadcast it like that. You know what I mean? That tells you that there's some cognitive dissonance there with them. Like, there's something inside of them is like, they're not making a good choice.
And they also say it like they're like a crackhead saying that he doesn't want to smoke crack right
now.
They're
like,
I don't want them kids. I don't want kids, right? I don't, right? I mean,
what do they tell people or females? What's the most important thing in your life? Your career. That's a lie. Ask most people to tell your friends and your family. That's just what they tell you.
Once again, your career. Xavier Guerrero making contact, going yard, okay? I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I could not agree more. I say this all the time. You know, Dana had just lost a friend of hers, or her high school buddy. She's, you know, at that age where her, like, the girl on the block that she grew up with has passed away. And it's super tragic. It is super beyond tragic, right? And she's like, what is my legacy? Because she's going through her own life stuff right now, which we all do, right? And I just want to say to her is like, you know, something that really resonated with me. It was after Brody passed away, and I saw this quote. I believe it was from Clint Eastwood. He goes, if people knew how little people talked about them when they passed away, they wouldn't give a shit about their legacy. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, very rarely do you do anything that lasts over time enough that people are talking about that you should only care about your career. I mean, you talk to elderly people, especially ones that have, like, they know the end is coming, and they go, what's your biggest regret? They go, I work too hard. I work too much. And it's like all the other little things, you know? It's just
keeping it general, you know, talk about like what Jordan Peterson talks about. We're getting right into the the pillars of misogyny. XG is like, bitches want babies. And I'm like, Jordan Peterson. But it's like, you know, the value of life and the value of your legacy is not what you make. It's who you are. And like you said, people won't remember. Most people won't remember you when you're dead. But all these people that, like, it's trying to stay general, but all these people that are saying, I don't want babies, there's a lot of like anthropogenic global warming propaganda that's allowing them to, I guess, like coalesce with the news that, hey, your life is not stable enough to be able to sustain a child right now. And instead of complaining about it because you're seen as like less than, you'll turn that into a positive aspect of your life. Like, yeah, well, I didn't even want kids anyway. Or the best thing you can do for the environment is not have a child, because it's the biggest like carbon footprint that a person can create is another person. So there's an awful lot of like convenient propaganda factoids around not having kids. Somebody there, like, I think, what's her name? Alana Glazer, one of the girls from that
Broad City.
Yeah. So she was all like, I'm never having kids. And she had a stand-up special on Amazon Prime, which was woeful.
Was it a stand-up special, or was it just her talking for an hour?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
There was nothing special.
It was just her talking for an hour. Let's be honest. I mean,
and she's like, yeah, I never have kids. The best thing you can do for the environment. And now she's on Instagram, like rubbing her bump and flicking her nips.
Hold on. She's having a kid now?
Yeah, she's pregnant now, and she's on Instagram and going, yeah, you know, like, so it just, it's one of those things, like, you can't fucking, none of us have uteri, so we can't exactly judge. So if somebody wants to go like, hey, I don't want to have a baby, it doesn't have to be a fucking, you know, a political standpoint. You're not in Pussy Riot by not fucking accepting some man's fucking love beans.
I totally agree. And as I said that, I'm like, I'm sounding like women have to have kids. I'm not saying that at all. I am firmly behind, if you don't want to have kids, don't have kids. But there's this propaganda that having children is like the worst. Like, it's just hell. And I don't know. I mean, I can only speak to me. I had kids later, so I'm so in love with doing it that I'm so thankful for it. You know, that maybe if I had it,
Sam, if you had had your twins 15 years ago, when you were doing fucking 3-foot rails of coke,
there's no they were six. They were 6-footers. Get it right.
I'm on a line of coke, as tall as I am, on the ground.
Oh, man.
Like, oh my God. Like, it's gonna, like, imagine having a baby. You would be able to change diapers super fast, one with each hand. You'd be able, like, wiping fucking ambidextrous shit. Like, but you wouldn't have the emotional capabilities to be able to relate to them. You wouldn't have the patience to relate to your missus. Like, there's certain times in people's life, like, years ago, lads would have that, boomers would have fucking 5 kids at like 26. And then all those kids end up fucked up because the person hadn't had a chance to put all the toys back in their own toy box before they started having kids. In their own minds, was fucked up, and they're just leaving their shit on the next generation. There's also like socioeconomic factors. There's also fucking, you know, like societal factors. People want to live their life. They want to experience stuff. They don't want to just get a job and have that job for 45 years. The same job and never have any like self-growth or any kind of like you know, career options, because they're like, well, I have to keep providing income. I can't live on, you know, beans on toast or fucking crostinis or some shit for a year and a half while I learn how to do such and such a skill so I can turn that into like, a small business. There's more opportunities that way. But I think no more than the fat acceptance movement or, you know, this kind of, what would you call it? Something that I find unsavory is like the drag queens reading stories to kids in libraries. I think that's just a little bit unsavory to me. But that all seems to be accepted because it's like, well, this is a way of life and this is how people live. And they're happy doing that.
I'm not for it. I'm against
it. If you're happy letting your kids get read to by drag, or if you're, you know, if you want to be like 600 pounds and get brought around on the back of a golf cart, tied up with cable ties to the back of a golf cart to go to the fucking store on a, like some kind of weird, you know, 1100cc rascal fucking shopping cart, cool. But like, don't proselytize to other people that that's a good way to live, and that's a great way to be, and like life should be lived like that because you're that way. I think no more than conspiracy theorists shouldn't be like, bro, you gotta fucking believe. If people want to wear masks, let them wear masks. Don't be fucking, you know, this binary opposition to society where people are like, if you don't believe what I believe, we can't communicate, we can't be friends, we can't integrate, we can't fucking cooperate, we can't converse. You were saying, Sam, a lot of your friends are on the left. There's been a weird, you know, divide and conquer thing going on where people are being put in boxes. And it may be boxes of race or political ideology, of, you know, scientific belief, which is now turned into some kind of weird religious kind of structure where you believe in science or not believe in science. Like it's some kind of weird scripture. You know, like Joseph Smith is like, the exosomes for the COVID virus are a certain size. And they're like, we believe it because it's in the book. Like, it's, you know. And then Fauci comes out and like he's telling lies. So now the people who believed are shown to be, you know, charlatans. They're shown to, you know, everybody's arguing. There's this binary opposition. And I think in the before times, people could exist and converse and go, well, I don't agree, but come on, let's go for a beer. And now it's like, well, I don't agree, I'm going to hit you with a stick, which is the modern conversation. I think if people don't want to have babies, just don't have babies. But like, don't fucking make other people not want to feel guilty for having babies, which is a weird thing.
You know who wants you to have babies now? Well, more babies? China. Remember China had a one-kid policy? Not no more. I wonder why.
War. I mean, that's
war. Exactly. They're not dumb. Yeah.
Ready, man. Yeah. They're going up to three kids. It's like children mandatory now.
And people don't want them. People in China are like, wait up.
Have you been to China, dude? You can't. You think New York City's bad? China's like, there's just huge. There's like 100 cities, they said, with like 20 million people. Like, think about that. And not all of them are like modern, like hip, cool metropolis. Some of them are like 20 mil farmer towns. Like, think about that, dude. That's China. And I don't have a problem with China. I listen, dude, I'm telling you, you go over there, there's a lot of anti-red propaganda going up to get us riled up to want to fight them. I don't like the communist government. The Chinese people, I have been there, are wonderful people. And like when you hear about, you know, when you hear about what North Korea says about us, and who even knows if that's real? And I would tell you it's probably not. I bet you've met some people in North Korea, wonderful people. Who do you have problem
wonderful
with?
People.
The government, dude. It's the government. I'm over getting in wars because the government wants me in wars. And I just feel. And it could be part of the game as well. Like, we're turning the corner and people are waking up to a lot of the bullshit that's going on because there's a permanent record with the internet. And that's my
opinion. It's starting to become more accountable. Like, the information that's out there can be checked and rechecked. And the Orwellian memory hole doesn't work as well when there's people making, like, archives of the websites. There's a lot of these, when Fauci got stung there with the old emails, I think a few more thousand of them were released today. I haven't had a chance to have a look. There's a second dump, you know. And when all that stuff came out, the, you know, the New York Post or the New York Times and CNN and HuffPost and all of these websites all went back and started like changing the headlines, just rewording it so they don't look like fucking dickheads for coming down and going like, this is the way, we all have to wear three masks, Fauci said so, like some kind of weird bishop of COVID where he comes in and he fucking, you know, proselytizes the sacred scriptures. And everyone had so much faith in him. And like, information doesn't, I don't think, is as valuable anymore because it's become so subjective. If you're tying up information, like absolute fact, to an emotive, subjective, a modus in the human brain, that means that like, you can say something that's factual and the person who hears it can believe it or believe it not. Like that's never happened, I think, before in human existence, apart from in some kind of like religious, you know, oligopolies or some kind of like, what do you call it? Like an ethnocratic state or some kind of religious, like Ireland was like, you know, super religious and all the laws were made around religion. Like a bishop got to write the fucking constitution with the president. So he's all like, oh yeah, no, we'll make it so that like everyone is free except for women who get pregnant out of wedlock. They'll go into like a factory forever and we'll take their babies and sell them to rich Americans. Like they were, that was in the fucking, in the laws, you know. And that the subjectiveness of information when it's tied to people's emotions, like you can put out something that's demonstrably true and then manipulate its truth by making people feel differently about it, because the easiest thing to manipulate is people's feelings, not the truth but the feelings.
I agree, dude. I think the human ego is a motherfucker. Yeah. I think it's super powerful, and the refusing to admit when you're wrong. I mean, like, how many people in the Q movement are just eating crow right now, you know? Yeah. But I mean, like, I like to look at it a little different than they do. I think a lot of the people in that movement, I said before, pulled out their energy and their money and their attention to the system that is corrupt, you know? But a lot of them make crow. Some of them will admit it. Some of them won't, man. But we see that happen all the time, man.
Well, what's the next step, though, in that, Sam? You know, like, I interviewed Dave Hayes, who's praying medic, who was, like, one of the preeminent Q...
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah. It was analyzers. His brand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he had a whole business all around it, like the incentive for money, like that was his full-time job, presumably. And there's a lot of people that had these channels, like Patreon, like basically cut off anybody that was that had a Q-based show because they're like, well, fuck you, stormed the capital, so we have to fucking kick you off now, shit. So like all of that stuff, if you were a regular person with a regular mind who didn't mind being wrong, who was like, oh Jesus, well that didn't happen, so let's go look at this again, like rebrand yourself, say like, hey, I was wrong, but wasn't it a fun ride? It was like, you know, we were it was like decoder rings and fucking, you know, this kind of shit. Let's fucking, you know, have fun with this code, try crack this code. No, now they're going, listen, Trump is the real president still, Biden is a robot. And you know, like, he's all the speeches he makes are deep fakes, and Obama's like giving him what he's supposed to be saying in an earpiece, and it's an actor. Trump is the real president. Fucking Ellen and Oprah and all these people, they're all on house arrest. That's why their TV shows are being cancelled. They all have fucking, you know, ankle breath. Like, it's going so mental into trying to maintain that version of reality that got dashed on the rocks after the election. That it seems like now it has reached that cult status where those people are emotionally attached to that reality. They were so ready for that to be true that when it didn't come true, they were heartbroken. And now they willfully disregard truthful facts because they don't want their emotional core to be destroyed. Like, it's a it's emotional self-preservation.
100%.
It's also like self-abuse, you know?
100%, dude. 100%, dude. Got to live your life, your head on a swivel, man. And, you know, I'm not here to be right. You know, I'm just here to hear information. And sometimes information changes the views I have on stuff. And
but do you find that you're getting fallout now from all, like when you started, I started in 2014, right, with those conspiracy guys. We're knocking on I think almost 40 million career downloads, right? For the whole time.
How awesome and crazy is that?
Fucking bananas, man. And my shows are like 6 or 7 hours long. So that's like hundreds of millions of hours that motherfuckers are sitting listening to make me making jokes about my dick and stuff.
You don't do podcasts, you do days.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a full day. Good though. They're deep.
Yeah.
Some good shit.
So like, and you guys are what, nearly at 500? This is like 467 or something, the tinfoil hat. Like you're pumping them out daily and nightly and ever so tightly. You got fucking, Sam, you got like 9 shows, bro. You caught Brian Callan falling through the net. And we're like, Brian, come on, man. I'll save
Give
you.
Me your forget hand.
It. Forget it. Yeah. It's like Indiana Jones going, leave the cup, Brian. Give me your hand. But it's the Holy Grail. Leave it, bro. Leave it, bro. She's 16, bro. Give me your hand. I'll save you. The swarm will fucking mind you, like, right? And Brendan Schwab is like, he's at the getting really old really quick, and Sam is just like, bro, he chose poorly, bro. He chose poorly, right? And all of these shows that you have on, like 18 months ago, were fucking fucking happy days, fun times. Let's smoke a bowl and listen to Sam talk shite with some dude. Some chick who has some fucking crazy book that they want to sell. They'll come on the show. They'll say all the stuff. You'll be like, my mind is melted. Thanks very much. See you next week. Right? Now, people are going, Sam Tripoli is fucking, what would you say, radicalizing America's youth by giving them false information. Like, Johnny, when do you think you'll have the first like Tripoli mass shooter?
Think about that
motherfucker that was that did that mosque shooting in New Zealand. He was like, whoop whoop, PewDiePie, da, 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 and he fucking rattled a load of Muslims in that mosque, right? Like PewDiePie had to be like, oh, so sorry about that. It wasn't me. Like, he had to fucking have an apology. And that's like PewDiePie, who's just playing Minecraft and shit. And some lad said his name on a GoPro before he shot Muslims. Like, what happens if somebody comes out and goes, like, just start shooting up a bunch of fucking, like, shoots up like a like some kind of like Jewish holiday or some shit? And he was like, Alex Jones sent me. Fucking eating them babies, motherfucker. Like, what does Alex Jones do then? Like,
you know what's interesting about that, dude? I think it's an interesting question. And I with great power comes great responsibility. And, you know, for a dude who is really not that smart, and that's me, flunked first grade, has no clue of grammar, and I'm white knuckling this whole thing.
Yeah, but you're a conduit for this information. You're a fucking lightning rod of this stuff. Nobody else could put it together the way you do. You might not be a fucking academic when it comes to conspiracy theories.
I would say I'm not. This might not, right? Is a strong, like, way too much hope.
Yeah, like there's some possibility.
Yeah, but like maybe, when you say might not, that gives hope. Nope,
I'm just being, a small bit generous. But what I'm saying is, you're a fucking lightning rod of motherfuckers who are like, hey, Sam, I'm good at this. Can I come work for you? You're like, yeah, bro. You're like, hey, this guy wrote a book about fucking simulated universes. I know nothing about it. Get him on. Like, let's fucking go. Like, you're making it happen in a way that nobody else has done
Thank
before.
You, dude. I do.
You've surpassed
that.
So many other people. And like, there's like a fuck. I keep getting this like messages of like quality, you know, like you're not a real conspiracy theorist unless you ... or like, we believed in you and now you say that this is not real. Like, we've lost faith in, and I'm like, who said that that was the thing that I was supposed to be? So like,
yeah, the people put shit on you, dude, you know? Yeah. And that, but let me just say this real quick before you put out to the world that this stuff. My whole thing is like, knowledge is power. I don't like getting lied to. And if you want to change the world, you got to change it from within, you know? Yeah. And that to me. So if anyone went and did something stupid like that, that would be not from anything I say, because that's not who I am. If war comes, right, and there's a day where war comes and the lizard people, mount war against the masses, then I grab my gun and I run. You know, I kiss my kids, say, hey, You know, remember me, dude. Here's the passwords to my crypto. Enjoy it. And I hope I come home. But if I don't, I just know I try. And I run into
my browsing history and remember me.
Yeah, tell them of my fucking fortunes, dude. You know, and I just run. But you know that to me, because like, you know, that's why I didn't go to. That's why I did not go to January 6th. I was like, this does not seem like good energy, dude. And I didn't go.
How is it morphed from the shit we were talking about 2 years ago, which is like interdimensional fucking pedophile blood sport, right? Like Frazzle Drip, Hillary Clinton Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, right? Fucking 9/11 is an inside job. The you know, the moon might be a secret Nazi base because like Operation Paperclip brought Nazis over and they made NASA. Like all of those things, like the evidences are there to prove them right in the way that a conspiracy theorist would be like, yeah, I can get on board with that. It's not like gospel truth. It's not stuff that people will hang their hat, their life, their livelihood, their well-being, their career, like their actual life. Like they'll die for it. They'll go to prison for it. now it's like some weird like conspiracy Qaeda, you know, where like there's people willing to kill and die. There's people willing to like go to battle wearing an American flag and say that Alex Jones sent me, or say that, like, you know, Stephen Crowder told me to do this. Like, you know, that to me is bananas.
This
conspiracy theory has come so far that it's come out of like listening to podcasts and stuff where people are actually, there's action. Like before we were hoping, I hope somebody uses the promo code so I get paid by the sponsor. Yeah. That's the action I want. And now they're like, I hope they don't shoot anybody and shout out my name on the live stream. Do you know?
Yeah, I think it is weird. I also think that if there's stuff going on in the news, you hear about it. My question is, why is it on the news? How did it get the news? And what dark hands involved with it? And that's just me. And maybe that's just crazy Sam again. But, you know, all this stuff where somebody, you know, it's like when the guy yelled in you know, the Orlando gay nightclub yelled, oh, my God, you know, Al-Qaeda. And then it turns out his father was like working with the Obama administration, which there are pictures of that, you know, and the FBI knew about it. Like, to me, it's like, why are they saying that he yelled at Alex Jones? What is that about and stuff like that? You know, I make no illusions that my show at the number it's at, maybe a little bit more, a tiny bit more, due to taking it off of YouTube, our numbers took a hit, and we'd like to get audio up to that level, but that's about it. I have no desire to be a crowder, and not that I have the ability to. Maybe my skill set is good enough to get where those guys are, who are super dedicated, super hard worker. Tim Pool, Joe Rogan, those guys are like fucking machines. That's not really what I want to do.
Tim Pool like classes himself as a milquetoast leftist, right? and now he's being like associated with fucking, you know, domestic terrorists because he goes against the narrative. Like Tim fucking Pool, bro.
Yeah,
he's big enough like he can't go to the riots anymore. He said last time he went, he started getting attacked. That's where I don't want to be at. Like, if you can't go,
I like
anywhere,
walking around. I like I'm a weirdo, bro. What? I like doing my weirdo shit.
What happened the other day? Yeah. Someone yelled out what to some girl?
Oh, yeah. Some girl, some Mexican with big chi-chis was walking down the street with a tinfoil hat shirt on, and some guy yelled, Sam Tripoli eats ass! And she, thank God she thought it was funny. Yeah. You know, but, I mean, that's all I want.
That's it.
But then, you know, we're kind of getting, this is a great way to get into the conversation. We I just did Kurt Metzger's show. And he brought up Sacha Baron Cohen, and he's worked with him on his show. And I love Kurt Metzger. Dude is fucking funny, man. He's like lethal fucking funny. But you know, he's worked with Sacha Baron Cohen. He knows Sacha Baron Cohen's wife, and you know, he's friends with the family. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm not a fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. I like what he used to do, but then I realized like this guy now, it just seems like a propaganda piece.
I think he's just blinded by his biases, you know? We knew he had that, but I mean, he's a pretty observant Jew, a religious Jew.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
But
he's an observant Jew. He's one of them Jews that keeps his eye on things. He looks at everything. He's observant. Make sure. One of his eyes is looking out.
And he's, I mean, he's just taken everything right down from the, you know, Israeli government or their word for it. Everything.
Well, one of my best friends from Vegas, his name's Mark Kublin. He doesn't talk to me anymore because I think he got mad at me. For that I put out because Sacha Baron Cohen was doing that stupid fucking speech about fake news destroying people's life. Yeah. I'm like, this is from the guy who fakes news and destroys people's life, which is totally true. Everything he does in his show is a lie in which he films people doing the dumbest shit and destroying their lives.
But it's the righteous lie. It's the lie on the right side of the ideology. That's the thing. You can lie as long as it's for a good reason. Do you know?
Well, that's from his point of view, right? He's doing it from a good point of view.
From the point of view of current acceptable politics, the Overton window has shifted in a way that some things are acceptable to talk about and some things are not. And the Overton window has slammed shut like a fucking screen door in a hurricane.
But I think it's changing, bro. I really do. I think when words or statements or phrases like anti-Semitism is just thrown out anytime you criticize a foreign government, I think people are starting to see that, man. And I think more and more people are like, hey, dude, I don't hate the Jews. And I say this all the time. And Brian Callen on my other show doesn't agree with this statement, but I'm sorry, man. But it's like the Israeli government and the Jewish faith are not the same thing.
No,
it's not. And
it's not the faith. But when you go like, oh, those it's the Louis C.K. bit, you know, those Jews in Israel are killing those Palestinians are those Jews in Israel. You just put a bit of stank on it and it means something else, you know.
Right. But the minute you throw that out and not let a discussion going, is the Israeli government like the U.S. government doing things that a lot of people would consider against humanity? And the answer is 100%.
100%.
Yeah. And we're just not, I mean, as long as you, like you said, as long as you don't get stuck on, as long as that's not your only issue.
As long as you're not, like, I don't think Israel is doing this stuff because they're Jewish. I think they're doing it because they're ran by psychopaths who just happen to be Jewish. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Their Judaism isn't causing that. It's the fact that they've been positioned because of their mindset to do this thing. And it's just like the U.S. government. You know, the world probably thinks of Americans as dumb assholes, right? I know a lot of great Americans. Most Americans are great people. Most of them vote every time for outside of Joe Biden, who nobody voted for, right? To
81 million, bro. 81 million. Come on. Unreliable numbers.
And they vote. They vote to get out of war. And then the guy lies, gets in, and we get into more war. That's just the way it is. You know?
Yeah, but it's really easy to, I don't mean to keep coming back to you as an example, but when you say something profound, Sam, everyone can be like, listen to this fucking, like, ex-coke head, you know, loud comedy numbskull.
Sex addict, don't forget
talking,
that.
Sex addict, you know, talking about, like, and if you're outside of America, stupid American, blah, blah, blah. Like, they'll find all the things to pick on you
to
tear down your argument.
Right.
Like, you're not going to be watching Israel pelting Gaza with missiles and then go online and verbally abuse Seth Rogen on Twitter for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not my style.
But, like, the amount of people that came out, though, and said, for fear of being labeled anti-Semitic, came out on Twitter and were like, yeah, Israel's class, isn't it? And everyone's like, but they're doing, like, war crimes and stuff. That you can't support that, can you? They're like, ah, yeah, no, but look, them Palestinians need to go back to where they don't come from. Like, it's a weird, emotionally rooted, socially constructed mindset. It's almost like Brave New World, like some Aldous Huxley stuff, you know.
Do you guys have any hope for that situation there? Like, what's the way out?
No, I mean, here's what's going to happen. In my humble opinion, is the international community is going to, I mean, you're going to start getting to a point where people start looking at, like, South Africa. And that's what's going to happen. And as the internet gets bigger, you know, voices that were silenced before are going to say something. Now, again, Israelis, there's tons of Israelis who are rallying against what is going on. But as you know, my humble opinion, this is not about Jews versus Muslims. This is about controlling a land bridge that is the easiest trade route from Africa and Asia to Europe.
Well, that's why I have my doubts about something getting done.
Well, no, it's going to have to get so loud. Listen, we have all the power, man. Humanity has all the power. These small group of people that are making us all fight with each other, they can't push back against if entire humanity pushes. And the best way to save Israel is to have a real discussion about what is going on over there. And like,
it's very difficult to get past that emotional barrier and that fear of being labeled. And, you know, the ADL will be knocking on your door if you made a podcast episode. You put it on Twitter and you get bumped off. You put it on YouTube and you get fucking a strike. There's all these, like, impediments and disincentives, both socially, culturally, financially, even legally, to not talk about it. And yet it's on the news for, like, I think it was 8 days straight. They were like, the way that the mainstream news worded it was like 29 Palestinians died and 5 Israelis were killed in a, you know, the skirmish today and blah, blah, blah. Like, think about how that was worded. Like, 29 Palestinians spontaneously died, but 5 Israelis were killed.
No,
like, who killed them? You know, the guilt is in the title. Like, that may, there's an obvious narrative for that particular thing. Like, taking it as a wild example, you know. Think about how other things are represented in mainstream media. Like, look at the fucking January 6th thing. Like, the insurgents, the white supremacist terrorist insurgents raided the Capitol building. And then you look at the video and there's like some fat cop going, "Yeah, come on in." He's eating the last, swallowing the last, chewing the last bite of his hoagie, going, "Come on in," lifting up the velvet rope. "Come on in, you guys. Okay. Don't push. Come on." Like, thanks, Marv or whatever his name fucking was. And he's all, you know, and people are walking around going like, This is like the tour. I remember this from elementary school. Like, here, since when did you see fucking insurgents stay within the fucking the guide ropes?
Yeah.
You know, walking through the, this is
looking or like the Hollywood set scene that, look, there are pictures taken from Pullback, just like how Viking guy's just walking down the middle like he's doing a fucking Michael Bay movie. And it's all the different angle shots that they got. 100%.
And the DC mayor just skated on it. She sent out this message to the federal authorities before that day and said, "We don't need any. We want all federal authorities out of the city. All federal law enforcement out of the city. We're gonna handle this. No problem." You know.
Yeah.
And she skated on that, dude. They had her on TV the following week talking about what went wrong.
But sure, they're doing that in fucking all around Seattle and Portland and all that as well. Like, get the cops out of there to show them to be ineffective, and then go, you know, defund the police because they're not doing anything. Only, you know.
Are you an NBA fan at all?
Am I a what?
Are you into the NBA, the basketball league?
Not particularly, no.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because this is a very interesting. Jason, so the number one player on the Portland Trailblazers wanted Jason Kidd, but the community was starting to go nuts because in the early 90s, I think, he got a domestic violence abuse with his wife, and they're like, "Oh, this city won't put up with it." It's fucking nuts, dude. It's nuts. Like, people can't make amends. People can't change. People can't grow. And then you got these rich kids who parents and grandparents fully participated and grew the system in which they're railing against. And by the way, they're only railing against the middle class and the poor in that system, not actually their fathers. How many of Antifa went to Nike and burnt down the Nike fucking headquarters,
dude,
where their parents were?
How many of Antifa are being exposed to fuck by lads like Andy No, who's going, "This guy got arrested in Portland today for protesting and he fucking hit a cop and he did this and he set fire to something. He's also a convicted fucking pedophile, sex offender, child molester." Like, go to Andy No's Twitter feed and he posts that shit the whole time. They had that poor cunt locked up in a room. They kidnapped him basically the other day, like, and forced them to go into hiding and all, because like he's exposing them so badly because they're all social degenerates.
But no, they're rich kids. They're rich kids playing The Purge, dude. They're literally doing the movie The Purge, which is commit crimes and not go to jail for it.
So let's put it, I want to throw this thought, you know, thought project out there, right? What if, right? I call this the frazzled rip conundrum, right? What if they're pushing society so far into the acceptance / forgiveness zone? So that everybody has done some shit, you know, everyone's had, what would you call it? Like a borderline wank, like a borderline jerk off session where in the middle of the fucking, you know, the skin colored fury, you're in the middle of the rage, like the fucking, you know, set like 220 beats a minute. Like it's happening, right? And you're just clicking wildly and all the fucking images are going past your eyes at a million miles an hour, like that scene from 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's just like, fucking, more, right? And you click on the wrong thing just the one time and your internet service provider is like, you didn't say the magic word, you didn't say them, right? Everybody's had done some weird thing, put out a tweet. Like we talked about the Jews every 10 minutes. Like somebody fucking said some Justin Bieber did a video where he was saying the N word, telling N word jokes years ago, right? When he was like 11. Justin Bieber, right? Maybe they're pushing society into a place where everybody feels there's some kernel of guilt. There's some. Like unforgivable sin, like they do in religion, you know, in Christianity, if you deny the existence of the Holy Spirit, it's the one unforgivable sin. And if you do that, you'll go to hell, you'll never get into heaven. So don't even question it. It's like it's a cool, you know, like cheat code built into the religion so you can never fucking self-analyze, right? What if there's like everybody has that terrible memory or that terrible act that they did? And in order to move on with life, to get on in society, people are going to be held up and burnt at the stake for all of these things until finally we all say, okay, listen, whatever anybody has done, no matter how bad, we're going to forgive it, guys, okay? No matter what you've done, like any kind of weird crimes or weird like moral stuff, this cancel culture has gone too far. We pushed it too far, okay? So let's just forgive everybody, okay? Everyone has some fucking skeletons in your closet, okay? Let's just stop this madness, okay? And everybody agrees, you know what? I've got some okay, I agree. Then they'll release the Frazzle Drip video and go, let's forgive Hillary Clinton for doing this. Whoa. Like that's how See, far it's going to go.
I think that's an interesting thing. What I will tell you is right now, in my humble opinion, that I believe that we're at a place where cancel culture is starting to go, it's starting to lose its grip. Now, we just had a guy named Singer. He was a booker for Montreal Comedy Festival. Somebody put out some Facebook post that he said the N-word, but he says he was just repeating what this ethnic comic said, and he didn't get canceled. He quit. And, you know, I think he personally quit because he saw the writing on the wall that nobody gives a fuck about the Montreal Comedy Festival anymore. you know, but he self-quit. Then we go to Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah,
and what happened with him. I think that they took a shot at him and it failed miserably. And he was telling me, because it goes back to the news that you were talking about, the news and how it can construct stories. So he said he would go on these news articles about him and they would mention his story. And then, you know, how they embed in the stories, they would embed other stories of Asian hate crimes, like Asian gets beat the shit out of, and it would over and over again to elicit emotional response against Tony. It failed miserably. And the reason I bring up this Singer story is because, again, we have a comic that nobody's heard of, you know, doing what Tony Hinch with what Theo Von says, which is snitch elevate, right? Doing this snitch elevation. And I wish someone would start a tracker so we could track these people. And I would like to see who has a bigger career? People who do Snitch Elevation or people who do herpes commercials, right? I'd like to know who on average has better careers, because they seem like two awful ideas to do for your career.
Well, I think the reason Tony fucking lived through it was because if you go watch any of his shit, he's an asshole all day around. And then Ari Shaffir released the whole video. If you watch the video, that Asian guy is hating on white people in the beginning. So Ari Shaffir just comes on. Tony Hinchcliffe comes on and he defends his race.
Yeah.
It was criticism of hacky comedy. He came on and he went like, this is hack bullshit. I'll show you how hacky it is. I'm going to do the same jokes.
Yeah.
And you see how fucking shitty it is when it comes out of me. In context, it was absolutely necessary in the gig. Hilarious and well done. But taken out of context, you could fucking pull out,
100%, which is
podcasts here.
Career
over.
And then you look at, like, as someone sent me this thing, I want you guys to hear it. Like, it's so interesting what this person has said. Real quick, dude.
Is that Asian guy's career over?
What, the guy who snitched
that
on him?
That snitch. I don't want to give his name out because I'm not trying to give
ping
him
pong?
No clout.
Ping pong?
Yeah, ping pong. Yeah,
ping pong. Done, I would, right? Would you work with ping pong?
No, definitely not.
If I showed up at the comedy club and ping pong.
Dude, I told you what his career is going to be. It's going to be just going around for these Asian family reunions and stuff the rest of his life. That's the only
joke he's going to hire. He thought he was going to fucking come out the winner on top of all this.
Dude, he thought he was going to have a special on Comedy Central, like Asian Hate Week or something.
And he still may. He still may, but it's going to lead to nowhere. I mean, who's going to work with ping pong?
It's like dealing in a different currency, Like they tried to tank Tony Hinchcliffe's dollar value, and he's like, "No, man, I'm working with Hinch Coin. You're tanking that dollar. You're fucking,
that's such a good point.
Ruining that currency." But I don't trade in that currency. Yeah,
so here's something this guy...
It's the pirate ship that Sam's always talking about. You just have to have your own.
Here's something this guy... I want to talk on Broken Sin tomorrow too, but it's so... And this is where you gotta go, okay, what's going on? This is a quote from this guy, Mahran Kilgahani, K-H-A-G-H-A-N-I. And he writes in here... this guy's, he's talking about this guy, what is his name? Springer, dude. Oh, his name is Jeff Singer. Now, hand to God, Jeff Singer was kind to me when he was a booker at the Laugh Factory. He didn't stay there long. He moved on. And, the Montreal Comedy Festival brought me out in the year 2000. I was there for New Faces. I bombed horribly. And at the time, I thought it was the worst thing to ever happen to me. And I got to say this with all honesty. Thank you, Montreal Comedy Festival, because you put my career on a course that at the time looked like the worst thing that ever happened to me. And now over the last 3 years, it is the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because I had to find out how to survive without the industry. And now that there is no industry, I'm doing everything I've ever wanted to do. So I am very thankful for that these people did this. Now, I just want to read this real quick. So this is this young guy. And I don't know this dude. I don't know this guy. So I'm not going to say whether he's funny or not. Okay. I don't care. I support everybody. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to read you what he wrote in this. Years ago when I auditioned for him, full disclosure, in my 13, 14 years of comedy, I auditioned for him for 3 times. He said, "I've seen gay before. Like my perspective, my angle, my specificity to my person was lost on him." Listen to this. "He's told female comics of mine that they are too masculine. His business dinners with female comic friends of mine literally only talked to former model at the table." Look at that, dude. Look at that, man. Here it goes. This guy's a tastemaker. This guy has, for a small fan of his career in comedy, gatekept a major showcase for talent in my industry. He does not, listen to this, see gays, women, or people of color or any combination thereof in a progressive or even handed way. Imagine saying that a guy who works for a festival where they have gay comedy nights, urban comedy nights, and female comedy nights doesn't give them an even hand. Imagine saying that comedy is not showing women, gays, and people of color any kind of respect.
It just doesn't stand up.
You must not watch anything on TV.
Yeah, it's false on its face.
It falls on its face, and it becomes, this is about me, and this guy wouldn't pass me. Yeah. That's what this becomes. So now you're snitching on some shit from a conversation that was held in private. And Jeff Singer probably dropped out because he knows the festival is fucked.
From one article.
No, because the guy who ran, another guy that was ran it was outed as doing sexual predator, Me Too shit. So everybody involved. Listen, Jeff again has been kind to me. I'm not going to defend a suit in any way. Anyway, I've showcased for the Montreal Comedy Festival. They always put me last. I was the oldest guy. I go, why am I going last? They are like, who's going to follow you? Then why am I showcasing, right? But do I cry about it? No, I just keep moving on. And if this comic wants to come on my tinfoil hat premium thing and have a discussion with me, I am more than happy to do that. And everybody I've ever criticized on the show is more than welcome to come do it on the show. Like, more than welcome, okay? But that reeks of me like, wah, I've got sand in my cunt. That's what reeks to me.
Tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys.
So much of this
we're
stuff,
coming to the point now in the cultural kind of churn, right? Where in 2017, when this stuff started to reach mainstream, it's been going since like 2012, let's say, that what they would call cultural Marxism, which in itself is deemed to be an anti-Semitic term, right? So this cultural Marxist, like the small and disenfranchised and bottom of the barrel, they turn the whole cultural pyramid upside down, and they become the ones who are in charge, and everybody else ends up being subordinate or subjugated because white guys have had enough time in front of the mic, Sam. Come on, give other people a chance, right? And it totally disregards what's happening in reality, which is all these people are getting a chance. A lot of the stuff, like movies and TV and stuff like that, it's decided upon who's going to be popular.
There's literally at the Montreal Comedy Festival a diversity quota.
Yeah. But the point I'm making is, in something like comedy, it can only work on a meritocracy between the comedian and the audience. You go up and you tell the jokes, and you're either funny or you're not funny. There's no like internal impetus to laugh because, you know, somebody who with a disability or a person of color gets up and they tell jokes and you're like, well, I don't find this funny, so I'm not going to laugh. But if I don't laugh, am I racist? Like, you can't force that laugh to come out of somebody if they're making jokes that are not good. So like, I think comedy is one of those great levelers that elicits that like that thing that comes out of a person. You can't make that come out against somebody's will. It's like laugh rape. Like, you can't culturally browbeat somebody into finding something funny. But with TV, with movies, with all the stuff that's coming up on Netflix, like the people that are getting the shots, that are getting the cash, they're now 4 years later from the cultural Marxist push at the start, where it's like, okay, we need to diversify, we need to level the playing field, we need equity, we need, you know, all of this. That has all borne itself out now. Those people have got their chances. They've created their stuff. And a lot of it is not great. Everybody's going like, is this what happens now when we give people any old motherfucker a chance? Like, well, there's a lot of this kind of stuff happening. I'm not loving it. Let's just go back to the good stuff. Like, when is Louis C.K. going to release his new special?
Now that you mentioned that.
Gone.
Do you remember 2019? It was Skankfest. Montreal Commodore was at the same time. Skankfest sold out. They did it. Who showed up for like a 5-minute opener? Louis C.K. That was real comedy. That place was sold out. $300, and that place sold out. It wasn't as big as obviously the Montreal Comedy Festival, but you don't need to sell out.
Yeah.
And they were hurting.
Yeah.
I do remember. And with it, Skankfest wasn't hurting. They were sold out.
No, I totally agree with that. And here's the thing, dude. You know, what really sucks is with this diversity shit. You watch somebody, you're like, oh, did they just get this because they're of diversity? Like, sometimes wonderful entertainers get in and you just want to dismiss it, and it sucks. My problem with diversity is that there's so many killers of every demographic, yet you pick these people that seem not worthy of the opportunity that they're getting. And not that they couldn't be eventually given time to cook and marinate, but you give it to them so early, and you're like, Paula Bell. Has anybody heard of Paula Bell? She is a murderer on stage. Is she a little quirky? Yeah, of course. Who is it? Murder on stage. She murders, man. Why is she not being pushed forward?
She doesn't follow the rules. Just like every girl at Skankfest. There was a lot of girls there, but they don't follow the rules. And they're not hot. They're not the perfect girl for Netflix.
The people that are being pushed early then are kind of shit in the bed for everybody that's going to come behind them.
Closing the door behind them.
Yeah, they're shit in the bed as well because they're coming out too early and they're not doing well. And then people are going, well, this is shit. And like, is this like an all-female comedy night? None of these are really brilliant because you're not picking the ones that are actually good. You're just picking the ones for to fill up the quota. And then people are going, yeah, I think the rumor is right. Like, female comedians are not as funny as male comedians. Like, no, that's not true. They just push these motherfuckers early to fill a quota. And it's not, you know what I mean? So the meritocracy, I think, in comedy particularly shows a lot more than in movies and TV show, which are for years ahead of time, like, sculpted and crafted. Like, look at the amount of movies that shit the bed because they were on the, you know, the social justice bent, you know, like Wonder Woman 1984. And like, they had to release that shit quick because there was a Trump character in it played by the Mandalorian guy. And they were like, fuck, quick, before Trump becomes irrelevant, we have to release this movie, put it out on Apple TV or whatever. Loads of TV shows that have all these quotas and stuff. It's just people are feeling the push of that social justice and going, no, I don't like it anymore. No less than the conspiracy theory push, where people have been bombarded with conspiracy theories through the mainstream media, thanks to the likes of Alex Jones, thanks to the likes of you guys, thanks to the likes of, you know, the Stephen Crowders, who had one of the most successful streams on election night of all of YouTube, like one of the most successful streams of all of YouTube ever in history, right? And it was totally buried. He comes out and people are going like, why is this thing being buried? Why is this not being allowed? Like, when you're putting out conspiracy theories on mainstream news and saying that they're bullshit for weeks and months, and then it turns out that they're not bullshit and Fauci's emails get leaked and everybody has fucking egg on their face. Like, you can't then turn around and say, well, we were right at the time and that's what we thought. Like, the meritocracy of that information, the meritocracy of that, the people are fed up of being fed bullshit now. And especially since we spent the last year and a half at home, everybody is what I like to call Bo Burnhaming. And everyone's just like in the room going, I fucking hate this shit. When can we go back outside? I'm fed up of being spoon-fed bullshit. I want something of quality.
What does that mean, Bo Burnhaming? What does that mean?
Have you seen his new special, Inside?
No.
Watch it. Watch it. It's fucking sublime. It's a little bit like preachy, but it's fucking so well made.
All right.
And it's him breaking down over the course of 12 months while he creates his own special for Netflix. And he sings all these songs like White Woman's Instagram and funny, and then like really dark, like depressing, I want to kill myself stuff. And then like funny, jovial songs.
All right, I'll watch it, dude. I'm down. But it's, I like him a lot.
It's top drawer fucking entertainment. It might not be like wall-to-wall comedy, like, every 15 to 30 seconds there's a punchline. But
I don't need that in my comedy, by the way.
No.
I would rather get depth from people. And yeah. I don't mind if you go a little ways without getting a laugh and you're taking me somewhere. Like, this pop comedy crap is killing me. So, I want to ask you something.
Bo Burnham will take you on a journey and you'll be finished at the end of it going like, oh, Jesus, no, that man is fucking, after tickling my soul's arsehole right there, like, that was that was weird.
Talking about shit entertainment, you know who got a game show?
Who?
Dwayne Wade. Why do you think he got a show? You play narrative.
Yeah, that's what they said he was trying to elevate. Let me ask you something. I want to ask you a big question that is always thrown at conspiracy theorists, and that is, how can everybody be in on it? How can everybody, we always talk about the, whether it's the moon landing, 9/11. I know my answers, but you seem a little more articulate than me. And maybe you don't feel the same way. Maybe you do think it's like, I don't know how everybody can be. But what is your answer to that, Gordo?
I would say it's compartmentalization. Do you know? Like in any organization, there's a certain amount of people that know a certain amount of info. And they are incentivized in some way or another to keep that secret, to keep that from going down to the lower tiers, whether it be a security issue, whether it be, you know, their own personal gain. Like, think about a fucking CIA guy who's being shown how, like, who's being trained by the guy above him. The guy above him is not going to tell him everything, because when it goes for a promotion, if the guy below him is more, you know, naturally talented and they both have the same information, he's lost the upper hand and might lose his promotion. Like, everybody wants to get that fucking next step. There's other incentives like, you know, NDA, like financial incentives or imprisonment that would make people not want to divulge information or cross-pollinate, you know, ideas. Things like, think about people in workplace situations. Like, they're relying, in most workplaces, they're relying on the employees not talking about what they're getting paid, because it's considered rude. It's considered, like, you know, the social etiquette is not, you know, you don't talk about how much you get paid. Because if you talk about how much you get paid, the motherfuckers not getting paid as much would be like, well, I want to get paid more. And if you don't, I'm not going to fucking do my work. So, like, they incentivize stuff in that way where, if you talk about it, there will be some kind of comeuppance. For the likes of 9/11, like, think about just the narrative from when we did the show a long time ago. And I think I hope to do it, a 20-year anniversary show this September. Looking back, fucking Garrett Brooks shit, right? Think about all the lads that were going in, that were going in and out, the workmen that were going in and out, that apparently were putting the, what was it called? The thermite plastic explosives on the internal pillars. Like, that could have been 400 different guys who were like, the boss, like some New York fucking, you know, like worker, like, oh, my boss is after giving me this piece of, I don't know why. What the fuck is this? It's like some kind of plasticine, some kind of shit my kid plays with over here. He told me to go to the 31st floor, stick it on the fucking wall over here, say nothing to nobody. And then the guy in the next room is like, yo, my boss said to me, I got to stick this fucking thing on the 32nd floor. I got to go to the 32nd. And everybody has their own floor. They have their own room. There's hundreds of dudes going in and out in that company, doing the thing, a little like death by a thousand cuts, doing the little, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 the towers come down. Because, like, a bunch of dudes did a bunch of small things. None of them can be culpable. And when they're watching the towers fall, they're like, I am never going to tell anybody that I fucking stuck that thing on that wall that day, because they might blame me for 9/11. Do you know? There's all of these built-in protections for people sharing that information. I think with the internet and anonymity, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Like, WikiLeaks had to be stopped, because they opened up the floodgates of, I guess, like, insecure revelations of information. Like, you could put out a whole bunch of fucking military material, and then, like, the enemy would be able to get that on the internet and know what maneuvers the troops are doing and be able to kill people. So, like, I mean, there's obviously some kind of military intelligence prerogative for keeping that stuff secret. But at the same time, like, the Snowden information and the stuff that Julian Assange all put out, like, all of that changed the world and changed how people viewed, like, the American intelligence community. Because they're like, yeah, they are all looking at us at all times. That happened in 2011. And now, 10 years later, we all know that Instagram is listening to us all the time. Sometimes ads come up for stuff that we thought about while having a shit. We never even said it out loud. And an ad comes up and we're like, oh my God, I was just thinking about that fucking MRI cream and I was pushing out a fucking dookie earlier on. And it comes up, goes hemorrhoid, because it heard you go like, huh? The microphone heard you. And it's like, oh, that we ran that through our algorithm. And that sounds like pushing like a nice bready shit through inflamed hemorrhoids. And when like, bing, 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 bing. And then the fucking hemorrhoid cream company, we're all like, okay, we got to get our fucking analytics. We got to get these things. And the next time you're on Instagram, it's like, hemorrhoids giving you jip. Try this fucking, you know, applicator. That's how deep that shit goes now. And we're okay with it. And in 2011, we're all like, oh my God, like holding up the fucking end of our apron, like the Irwan and the Tom and Jerry cartoons, like, Thomas, the government is done. Come into our kitchen. And it was running around all the pots and pans. And then it was fucking 10 years later, and we're like, cool, man. I bought hemorrhoid creams. My arse is on fire. I got it on Instagram. How convenient is that?
It's like that meme that's out there. It's like 1950s. Shh, don't say that on the phone. They're wiretapping us. And then today, hey, wiretap, can you give me a cool recipe for spaghetti? You know?
Exactly.
Here's my whole thing with that. It's just like, you know, I really want people to understand something. If you have a problem with a lot of this, it's very simple. Like, you don't like Facebook censorship, get off of Facebook. Don't use Facebook. Now, it's very hard for me and my business model not to have one of these. So I have to go, what am I going to give? What am I going to take? And that, like, dude, I have at home a flip phone. And I'm ready to go full when it gets really bad, when they're like, dude, you gotta have your phone around because we're gonna do fucking COVID, tracing. Things staying home in a bag that blocks all EMT stuff. I'm gonna do it.
But it's the slow attrition. It's this Kurt Vonnegut style. What does David Icke call it? Not dehumanization, what's it called? Transhumanism, you know, this kind of, we're moving towards like a fully integrated Google Glass type technocracy, where now we all have the little slab in our phone. But, and I see with the, you know, the COVID vaccine passport that they're going to start implementing and all this kind
of
stuff.
I think it's not going to happen, dude. I'm being honest with you.
Society's pushing back on it, right? But like I just watched the movie for the second or third time. You know, Elysium, that movie with Matt Damon, and they have this fucking weird like space station where all the elites stay up there and they're able to heal each other and like nobody's ever sick and they're all fucking rich and shit. And then everywhere on Earth just looks like the worst parts of Mexico, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, and everything's orange.
Hey. It's not that bad down there.
It's really not that bad in Mexico. But that's what Ireland thinks of Mexico.
We know what Ireland thinks.
They make it look really bad in the movies, and there's a lot of Latin people walking around.
Basically, the entire world looks like a Die Antwoord video, right?
There's no Jews, though. There's very little Jews over there.
Where?
In Mexico.
There's Jews in Mexico. I've been to Mexico City. I don't like the spicy food.
That's why I don't go to Mexico. It's too spicy.
I've been to Mexico City.
Mexico's on the naughty list right now for they were playing the United States in Colorado, and there were a bunch of Mexican fans, and they like to say puto when the goalkeeper kicks the ball, and they had to stop the match, two of their past two matches, because it's, you know, it's a gay slur, basically, puto, every time they kick the ball.
But it's
and
not.
They had to stop the match like twice to get them to like.
Good point, Johnny. But showing. it's like
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But
in my
it's
life.
Like faggot. We're not really calling them like a gay slur. It's just what we said, and now they want to own it and be like, you can't say that. We've been saying that since the fucking 50s. Like that's
white people been saying the N word since like they saw their first black person. So I mean, like history. That's kind of why you don't say it anymore. I get it, dude. I call all my best friends that. All you guys.
Oh, he called.
No,
us
which
that
word?
All the time.
No,
the
I F like word. To be called the N word. I call all my friends I love the F word.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All the time. I listen, dude. I just put out something. I say the word retarded.
It's just a bundle of sticks, man.
You know, for me, man, it's just like, why is the N word even more different than the F word when it comes to gay people? Because we know the hard history of that shit, right? And I don't think anybody should be canceled because they say it. I'm sorry, dude. I just don't think people should be canceled. If they're calling a black person that in a way that is so obviously bigotry, I mean, they're going to get shit. Do I think people should be canceled? I do not. I just don't. Because it's just not a hard rule. If it was such a bad word, nobody should be calling it to anybody. That's what I'm saying. But there's such fine print. The word definitely, in terms of how it's been weaponized, that whole thing came out of a think tank on how to get us all to fight with each other. And the way some people guard that word because they think it's something they can say and other people can say, it's just all part of the psyop. It's all part of the psyop to get people to fight with each other. Listen, I was just in Miami, dude. We should take anybody who is really racist and make them live in Miami. And you'll go out there going, I just want to have sex with everybody. That's what you'll come out there with because everybody's gorgeous. Miami is the future, by the way. You want to know what the future looks like? It's Grand Theft Auto with everybody looking like they're about to go shoot porn. That is Miami.
Like a real racist wouldn't feel like Beyonce, and I don't think they exist.
I do. Yeah, good point. And I agree with you. Even the Grand Wizard of the KKK would drop D on Beyonce.
Yeah. Real racist wouldn't have none of it.
You're not really racist.
As long as he hasn't seen that video of her dancing and making those ugly faces.
I would still hit it. Yeah. She could make that ugly face while I'm banging the shit out of her, and I would still do it. I just don't believe in it, dude. I believe in humanity, dude.
I was making a point, and I can't remember what it was now, because I said...
Welcome to Tim Fall Hat.
I think somewhere looks like
you
Mexico.
You were talking about Elysium. Elysium. You were talking about the Earth. So. The Earth in Elysium looks like Mexico.
Yeah, remember that part?
All the places that they want to make people feel nervous about looks like Mexico. But I can't remember my point. It was something like, they're fucking dividing us, man. Full stop, whatever. But I think that... as we go along, the cultural divide, the way that people, like Sam said, they're weaponizing these words where you can and can't say it. They're going back, they're retroactively destroying people. I do think there is a long-term plan where there will be some kind of like amnesty or some kind of like moral amnesty, some kind of forgiveness, which will then open the door for the likes of, I don't know, pedophilia being accepted as a sexual preference. There's these.
I understand what you're saying. And, you know, to get back to kind of the cancel culture, I think more and more people are seeing, and it's all intent. What is the intent of that? Okay. Yeah. Even with Tony, people, when they got the whole thing, they go, oh, the intent was exactly what you said earlier. I think people sexually molesting children, I do not see a large majority of people going, oh, you know, man, people make mistakes. I do think part of the psyop of that whole, like, Jeff, what's his face?
Epstein.
Epstein was this notion pushing that, hey, man, it was 15, 16-year-old girls. And people are like, come on, dude, you know 16-year-old girls. They fucking want it, bro. They fucking want it, bro. Let's let. And it's kind of nudging it that, come on, 16-year-olds aren't that bad. 16, come on, come on. Come on, you know?
I like to look at most of my conspiracy theories through a historical lens, right? So when you look at something like what's going on now with the demoralization of American society and therefore a lot of Western ideology and Western media, there's a real push to fucking hate yourself. There's a real push to like feel guilty for everything that you think and all. You know, your life thus far has been a lie. Everything you've ever done wasn't on your own merit. It was because of white privilege. All the people that have ever succeeded ever have done so on the blood of the working class. And, you know, anybody who's rich is inherently evil because the only way that they can succeed was, you know, taking advantage of certain aspects of society and stuff like that. All of these like new truisms that take away from the achievements of people, right? So there's like a whole kind of conspiracy historical lens that I like to look at stuff through, right? So like what's happening now in society has happened in the 50s in China. And I'm researching at the moment for a Chinese Cultural Revolution episode, which is going to be a fucking 12-inch black cock of an episode, because everything that those motherfuckers, big, bulbous, veiny, trobber, everything that those motherfuckers did in the 50s, they used the youth in order to put forward, you know, a narrative of irreligiousness in favor of, you know, like a political fucking deity in Mao Zedong. And they destroyed everybody who was opposed to that kind of autocracy, that communist total rule. And they pushed communism real hard. And they accepted it all. And then in the 20 years between 1956 and 1976, they were like, well, fuck, we... Shit, man, we fucking pushed this really hard. So we kind of can't say, like, whoops, we were wrong. Let's, like, wind this back a little bit. And in those first 20 years, they got absolutely fucked. Famine, millions of people died. The whole country was fucked up. And nobody could complain because, like, well, we did this to ourselves. This is what we wanted. Let's give it a chance. Let's wait until see what happens. And because of that, inability to be able to go, like, hey, listen, I think this is a bad idea after like 2 years. Like, this seems weird now. Can we roll it back? They let it go for 20 years. And then they ended up in total autocratic fucking, total rule. China, total rule. Right, where nothing is fucking allowed to be said, or you'll get gulagged. All your internet is locked down. You can't get full internet access. Everybody has to wear the same fucking shit. You are put into schools where you're trained to be industrial workers, whether you're creative or not creative, whether you have aspirations to do this career or not. Like, for a really long time, it was a really fucked up place to be. But they promised a utopia to the youth and then let them loose. The youth chided everybody else with a new political religious ideology, using the tools that are embedded in humanity, like morality and shame, guilt, all these things that come out of like abuse and abusive relationships, these things that are in people. They use those tools to fucking make society that way. And now look at what it is. Like, it's coming to be one of the greatest powers. One of the next big superpowers. They're going to overtake America in the next 2 years, they say, right? But like, think about living there. Do you know there's a social credit system? It's like mad communist. There's huge wealth divide. It's all the problems that America has, but it just has like a Chinese sheen. Do you know?
Yeah. Blood. I mean, they're setting us up for World War III with them. They're running the exact same play that they ran with Europe and Russia. That's what they're doing right now.
It's history repeating. You look at all these things that have happened before, like everything that's happened conspiracy-wise, it's all like a massive historical game. They're moving the pieces around. Like, look, we're living in such a fucked up world that's so subjective and emotionally crippled, right? It's almost like we're globally the victims of like abusive parents who have like neglected us and, you know, locked us in a room. We're all Elizabeth Fritzl at the moment, right? Locked in a fucking basement. Now and again, you know, daddy comes down and fucks us or whatever. And we got a couple of kids out of it, and we try to, you know, keep the happiness going, make a banana bread or whatever. But in reality, we're prisoners being abused by a society that claims to love us but doesn't. Right. And the results are, when we're allowed to do the thing, we'd be like, oh, yeah, I love this unleavened bread. I love this watery soup. It's the most delicious soup ever. Like, hunger is a good sauce. If you're starved for a really long time, any little thing that they give you, you're going to take it.
That's like, exactly what's going on right now.
It's in unprecedented times, but it's not just like it's culturally, it's psychologically, it's emotionally, it's all of these things. Like, we've been kept apart from our loved ones. So now when we get to meet back together, we won't want to talk about the bad things, because we won't want to, because people are so like binarily opposed to these ideologies. Like, if you go into a house of people who believe mask wearers, vaccines, blah, 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 and finally you get to see them after a year and a half, and you're like, come here, the fucking vaccine shit is a load of wank, isn't it? And everyone's like, oh, not in this house. You don't say that in this house. Yeah. Like, that sounds like 1950s Ireland when you're giving out about the priests fucking the children. Oh, you don't say that here now.
Yeah.
You don't fucking disrespect the church in this house, young man. Like, it's using fucking religion, the rules of religion historically, to manipulate culture.
Yeah, scientism, into controlling dude. People. 100%. Yeah. It's scientism. But it's like, hey, man, you know what, dude? I just have a belief that people are waking up. And I maybe I live in an echo chamber, and yeah, that's really fine. Are. But I believe that people more and more are waking up to this shit. And guess what? You can't save everybody. And guess what? I watch Animal Kingdom all the time, all these animal videos. And guess what happens to the dumb animals? They get eaten and killed. And guess what? None of the other animals are like, oh, we should have saved them. They're like, better you than me. And that's yeah. kind of my opinion. And I have family members that I love with all my heart. I would do anything for them. But I can't save you. If you want to listen to someone you never met more than somebody in your family who's given you all this information, there's nothing I can do for you. But I will tell you that I turn around and more people are waking up. And that I believe humanity and a great awakening is coming. And yes, they stole that and they put the Q. I still believe in the things that Q put out. I will say that right now. All the information that came out. There's a lot of it that woke up. I think they told us that so that they would be, so we would be like, oh, they do whatever they want and they'll never get busted. And I think they want us to feel powerless. But I'm using it as, oh, I have to stop waiting for corrupt people to fix corruption. And I'm going to take a step back. I think this vaccine passport shit is fucking falling to the wayside. I think our governor is a retard and he's fucking trying to hold on to this shit. And maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. That's fine. But I would rather wake up with Faye.
Let's use this platform now to officially declare, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Tripoli is running for office in California.
Oh, my God. My porn history search would stop that right there. Okay? It's not happening.
Being followed, Sam being followed by two guys like, he's going into the club right now. Okay. Sir, here's your suitcase full of $1 bills. Like, you'd be, it'd be the fucking sketchiest.
They'd be like, oh my God, he's watching porn again. Fuck. Yeah. I can't unsee it. Now I'm jerking off the weird shit too. Oh, I'm fucked. I'm quitting the thing and I'm just going to really just lean into my vices. I hate this job. Why did I get assigned to Sam Tripoli? I mean, I am getting to the point where I'm kind of over it, but I still like it weird. And that's just me. And I'm going to lean into who I am. Gordo, man, it was great. Great to have you on, dude. I love the shows where we just talk.
There was a whole thing planned about some fucking dude in Australia, but this was a little bit.
Dude, let's reschedule you right back, dude. Yeah. Let's get you back.
We'll do it again. It's this thing. I haven't done this in a really long time. You know, I haven't been online with my people since I think inauguration day because the baby came. Our baby came on inauguration day and I fucking unplugged, bro. I just unplugged from conspiracy life for a little while and tried to, you know, have some head work and trying to get right. Because like fellas like us, the people that are listening at home, you can overdose on this stuff.
Yeah.
You can get sucked in and it's better to get sucked off than sucked in. If you're in sucked in into this thing.
I love that. That should be a t-shirt.
Yeah. Better to get sucked off and sucked in. If you're fucking deep into this stuff and all your friends are talking about it and this is all, you know, all you're taking in all the time and then it starts to sour. Like a lot of people were mad on the at the end of November. A lot of people were mad on the 20th of January. And it's because they were set up to feel that way.
Yep.
There were forces at work that are changing people's realities by manipulating their emotions. And I know this is a super fucking loosey-goosey, you know, non-topic episode. We didn't come in with any kind of preparado. I've been spending a long time in the last few months, like, looking internally, trying to find out, like, what do I feel? What do I think? What do I know is true? What do I think is true? What do I want to be true? And how can I go about consolidating those three things together with facts and information, historical context, and, you know, considered research and consideration, like properly thinking about these things. I wanted to have an episode on Project Bluebeam. Excuse me, which
are
is
you
the
dying, dude?
No, I just have a little chest infection. It's a normal cold.
You're dying, dude. It's been a pleasure. We'll remember you.
I got that fucking, the bad AIDS. So not the good AIDS that you can be, like, you know, still famous with. So the Project Bluebeam, like, I have a bunch of episodes set up for this season, right? Project Bluebeam is one of them, where they're going to have like a holographic second coming of Jesus in an alien form, and they're going to like fake a bunch of UFOs in order to create like a moral panic in humanity to delete God from society and, you know, shake everybody's faith in our existence and give up all of our all of our freedoms for security against a fake manufactured alien enemy, right? And I thought, no, like, I've planned these like for fucking years out, like all these episodes are planned years ahead. I was supposed to record this last May, Project Bluebeam, and COVID came along and fucked my studio schedule, because Ireland is one of the most lockdown countries in the world. We're one of the longest lockdown, where we couldn't go anywhere. And now there's even a little bit of freedom, and we have thousands of children in the streets of Dublin City fucking doing LA riots with cans of apple cider, just drinking the cider, throwing fucking bottles at the cops, running along cars like it's the fucking Purge. Just having a night out, right? That's where we're at in Ireland at the moment. I couldn't have anybody over to the studio. I made a beautiful studio, couldn't have anybody in it because we were fucking locked down, and I wanted to not be a dickhead and obey the rules. And I think I missed the boat on Project Bluebeam, because now we live in a society. Now we live in a society that's so fucked up that they fucking have an announcement on the 1st of June where the government says that aliens are actually totally possibly real. UFOs are definitely a thing. And sorry, we lied for 70 years. And everyone just went, oh, and then just scrolled past it when they were having that shit, looking at those fucking hemorrhoid ads. Do you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is going on? I really had to take stock of how my brain was operating so I didn't get caught in these mad diatribes about like cultural Marxism and cancel culture and all. But it fucking takes up so much of your head RAM as a conspiracy theorist. It was fun to talk about here, but like when you're trying to actually get down to brass tacks and actually have discussions, those like day-to-day things take up so much of your fucking soul energy, you know?
Yeah.
Because you have to navigate them on a day-to-day basis. There's a new fucking cancel culture crisis happening every single day where you're going like, fuck, what was he talking about? Have I said that shit? Like, everybody's on edge, man. Hyper-vigilant. Fucking anxiety riddled. Guilt and shame riddled for things that we may have done in the past. And it's stopping us from thinking. It's stopping us from talking. It's stopping us from fucking communicating, honestly. And I think that people are fed up of it. People are getting ready to move on.
Well, Gordo,
and start talking properly.
Let me just say this, man. You know, one of the things that has really helped me is I did a spiritual podcast on Rockfin called Zero, and it couldn't have happened at a better time. And, you know, and the thing I preach on the show all the time is that it's like, you got to look within, man. You know, and it's like, when I saw people start losing their minds about child sex trafficking, and, you know, and it is a horrible thing and we have to fight tooth and nail, but it's like they're losing their skulls. And I'm like, what's the point of trying to make the world a better place if you're going to be miserable doing it? So I realized I had to like put stuff in perspective, and through Zero, I, you know, the whole thing was like, change the world, change yourself by changing yourself. And I deal with that on a, I think globally by acting locally, right? And that, like, little things, you know, working with my buddies, trying to do fun stuff with them, and all that stuff. That's how I change the world. Not, you know, by like railing against the system, getting lost, and and again, it's like Eddie Bravo came on here a long time ago going, if you don't see it by now, there's nothing I can do for you. But I see people are taking more and more of that perspective. And what, again, whatever you want to say about the Q people, they pulled out their energy, pulled out their money, pulled out their attention into the two-party system. And like, even the GOP is struggling for donations right now because nobody wants to put their loosh into the bullshit. So that's why I have more faith. And you know, at the end of the day, I could be, you know, eating it and looking like a piece of shit, and I'll own it. But I will always have faith in humanity, and I will always have faith that we will overcome this small group of people. And with the The fiat dollar dying, dude.
Yeah, man.
They're even more fucked, bro. So
I started going too deep, and I started losing faith in the future. And then you have a kid and you're like, well, fuck, I have a stake in the future now. Shit.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was just fucking making dick jokes and telling stories of historical shit that happened and going, the CIA have been fucking assassinating people and peddling drugs, causing wars to be able to fund black operations for like, what, 65, 70 years? But they wouldn't do it again, like in 2020, and make everybody stay in their house so that everyone would become so fucking lackadaisical and depressed and downtrodden and introspective and dark minded and suspicious and guilty and broke and fucking depressed and lying down all the time and not doing it, and that like whatever little scrap of fucking sunshine or whatever little morsel of hope that we give them on the other side of it will just make them do whatever the fuck we say. Like, the CIA wouldn't do that. Like, not that they've been doing it for 70 years, but they wouldn't do it again. Like, we'd know, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we feel it happening when it's happening? And the answer is no, we wouldn't feel it happening because they're that good at it. They've been practicing for 70 years. Like, I have a fucking stake in the future, and I want to be able to do it healthily. So, like, the last 6 months for me has been going, okay, let's put all the fucking toys back in the toy box. Let's see what you know, what's happening. It's very difficult, man. It's very hard having a head, isn't it?
It is if you lose it.
Yeah, very hard having a head. But I admire what you're doing over there, man. There's a lot of people talking about it. It's getting bigger and bigger. And that Rockfin thing, like, the boys are telling me, you've got like fucking 9 shows now. Like, Is it 9? Is it 8 shows you got?
You want me to actually count it? Tinfoil Hat, Broken Sim, World,
Zero.
The Union of the Unwanted, Cash Daddies, Zero, Conspiracy Social Club, The Goats,
Punch Drunk.
Yeah, so I'm at
Conspiracy Social Club.
I already said it.
Oh, did you?
Do you count the Patreon?
One fat lady.
I put them all.
The Daily Doses.
You got 8 podcasts, man. That's a lot of ears. That's a lot of fucking attention. That's a lot of energy going both ways.
I only do things I enjoy talking about, and it's not work if you enjoy talking about with people that you love to talk to about with it.
Exactly.
So. Gordo, tell them where they can.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell them where they can find you one more time.
ThoseConspiracyGuys.com is the website. I'm on all the podcast apps, Those Conspiracy Guys. Type in any topic that you think you might like to listen to. Have a go. Go back in the back catalog. It's all timeless shit, so you don't have to listen to it one after the other. They're long, but they're good. Like Ron Jeremy's dick. And
not anymore, dude.
Well, I mean, everyone's got to go sometime. But make sure that, you know, don't expect it to be all like light, and you know, there's long diatribes and we have deep discussions and sometimes it goes off on tangents and stuff, but I think the Swarm are and Those Conspiracy Guys crowd are very, what would you say, comparable in sentiment. A lot of stuff there, a lot of biographies, a lot of music biographies, famous people, historical events. The Vatican is a really good one. A lot of Charlie Manson, Jim Jones, a lot of cults and stuff like that. So have a look back. Yeah. Nice little historical retrospective. We're on Rockfin as well, so you can check it out there if you're already subscribed with Sam's.
Gordo's going for all the pussy. He's doing crime shows now, true crime. You know where the females are at.
True crime shows, because I want to explore the ability to be able to get away with murdering a bunch of people, just like as a thought project.
Oh, yeah. And I want to just. I'm glad you don't want to get too lost in the chaos and get depressed. So go into murdering everybody and getting away with it. That's gonna right your spirits real quick.
Look, man, I'm trying to own it. I'm trying to get ahead of the badness, you know.
Well, I appreciate it. And, dude, I'm not against any of it. I mean, like, I'm open-minded to do it all. I mean, I like when we did the Star Wars one, like, that's a nice change of pace. This is a fun conversation. It doesn't have to be, you know, Rothschilds and lizard people and Jeffrey Epstein all the time. I just know people love those conversations. Anytime I can do weirder shows, I want to do weirder shows. We got Jam, everybody. I hope to see you in Houston. Come and hang and get weird, and we will talk to you soon. Love you guys.
We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mic. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning. There's- just blew my mind. Tinfoil hat.